Welcome, this is Josh Rees with Mile High Church in Lakewood, Colorado. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast today. For more information about our church, please visit our website, milehighchurch.org.
All right, now, let's take a deep breath and remember this field that Cheryl said, of the expanded life and energy of the Spirit. As we talk about the power of co-creation, the power of co-creation, have you had a moment or an experience wherein you communed with something profoundly wise and powerful, even healing? And you let go of fighting and forcing things. You let go of controlling everything. You let go of needing to be right, and you allowed that something to do its marvelous work through you. And then, despite your fears or your sense of impending limitations or obstacles, you let that something go to work in your heart, in your life, in your situations. And perhaps you noticed profound results being produced, far more than you could have ever imagined or designed. Now, more of us have had this than we were even in touch with. This is the destiny. This is the higher design. This is the calling of every human soul. This is co-creation. And its power is enormous. It's working in high cooperation and synergy with the great power that is and ever shall be, the power that is at the heart of your life and at the heart of co-creation, that wants to use you as its instrument to bring forth even more light and more livingness. And you can enter into its flow, the flow of ever-expanding good. When I think of the flow, I think of an experience that one of our wonderful members and practitioners here, Cindy Cleveland, had. She and her husband Mark live in Castle Rock, and on the west side of it, and she was in the village on the east side of it, and she needed to get home. Time was a-wasting, and she had an appointment, and she came. She was trying to get across the freeway over to the other side, but she found that along Main Street there was this enormous parade going on. She didn't even know what the parade was, but all the access points to getting across were blocked, and she sat there not wondering, thinking, I'm going to miss my appointment. I don't know what I'm going to do, but then inspiration hit. And she maneuvered her car just around one of those little metal barriers, and there's a gap in the parade. She just moved into it. And she just flowed along with the parade. She rolled her window down and started waving, thanking everybody for turning out. And she moved to the end of the parade and was able to get across the highway. There are higher means than most of the time we get in touch with. Higher means. There's a man named Otto Scharmer. He is with MIT and a part of something called the Presencing Institute, which interestingly teaches leaders in business about the principles of co-creation through something called Theory U, the letter U, but I won't go into that. But what I love is that he says that we are living in an age of profound disruptions that are challenging us personally and collectively in nearly every arena. It's as though life is bursting at the seams to produce more. And his message is, yeah, we got to deal honestly with the fears and the discouragement that comes along. And yet we are also called to tune into the higher activity of the evolutionary force of life. That there's something seeking to be birthed and brought forth through these troubling times. And this is very similar to a message that my dear friend, the late Barbara Marx Hubbard, a tremendous futurist, wrote about when she would say in so many different ways that our crises are our birthing. And can we be a part of a birthing? We all can. We're called to be. You know what? You incarnated on this planet to be a part of these profound transformative times. And you might think, no, my parents did it. No, as a soul, you chose them and you chose to be here in these times. And you get to ask, what can my role be? It can be, first of all, in consciousness, a consciousness of co-creating higher life for you, higher awareness in the collective. You can become a co-creator. Barbara writes, the new planetary dangers and opportunities are bringing forth not simply a better human, but a universal human, a co-creator. A universal human is one who is connected through the heart to the whole of life, attuning to the deeper intelligence of nature, spiritually awakening, and called forth to give his or her gifts in the evolution of the world. This new kind of human has been prefigured in the lives of the great mystics and visionaries of the past and is now coming forth in millions of us. We come here to not only enhance our lives, but to remember that we're a part of a cresting wave of higher consciousness upon this planet, that the lesser consciousness we see being played out in so many arenas in our world is no longer sustainable, and that we can be the pioneers. But it's not by forcing something within ourselves and staying within the scope of our limited awareness and resources. It's instead moving into the higher frequency and co-creating with that larger love, that larger intelligence that caused our life, that is at the heart of your life and mine, that is the source of all creation. And we're here to be its instruments. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. We're here to fulfill the mandate and the commission of Jesus when he said, the things I have done, you shall do, and greater things shall you do. And it's not by our own personal means that we do this as much as when we yield and allow something to come forth. But what gets in the way of this process are our attachments. Whether it's attachments to worn out, obsolete belief systems and ideas, attachment to the routines and the relationships and the jobs and the things going on in our life that we know we're outgrowing, but we stay attached to those things. I think the two greatest attachments that keep humanity limited are attachments to outcomes and attachments to certainties. When you and I are attached to certain things turning out a certain way, we're usually closed to a better or a higher way. When we're attached to and connected to certainties, things that we just know are certain, we're closed to higher revelation. So it's these attachments. And the antidote for this kind of attachment is spiritual surrender. And surrender for some is a bad word, but it really is a beautiful concept. It's not a giving up. Surrendering spiritually is a flowing with that something higher and greater. It's clearing the space for a higher guidance to inspire us with more than we know yet. It's allowing greater energies to be accessed and to express through us in healing and empowering ways, not by our own design, but our letting of something that's infinite have its way with us. It's non-resistance. It's giving up the forcing. And it's working in sync with the great intelligence and power and harmony and love that we're a part of. It's consciously tuning into this and allowing it to work because we're all a part of this. The great master teacher, having done many, many works, called the throngs together with a very important message. He said, understand this, it is not me doing these things. It is the Father within me that does the work. He was giving us the message of co-creation, of how important it is to get out of our little ego mind, our separate thinking mind, our self-identity, and allow the field of the larger spiritual truth of us to come forth. He was an unobstructed channel for that healing and that inspiration. And he said, this is your calling. And this is why we're here. So I want to offer you three keys to the power of co-creation, and they all involve this surrendering of the lesser identity, the lesser concept of ourself, realizing that we're activities of something larger, and we can allow that to flow through us. The first is surrender and perceive. Surrender and actualize your spiritual antennae to perceive the field of infinite intelligence and divine love that is omnipresent, that is a part of us, that's right where you are, Perceive it. Dispel the fog and let the sun shine. The inspiration that I live, move, and have my very being in God, life divine. It's pressing upon me, seeking for me to become more pliable and permeable to its light and its love. And everything else takes care of itself. If I'll do that, if I'll allow that, if I'll surrender, yield my rigidities and attachments, and perceive the mighty presence of the living spirit. Dr. Ernest Holmes wrote a little book called Your Invisible Power, and all through it he says, you have a silent partner. Do you live that way? Do you have a sense of that day by day? There's a silent partner with you. And it'll speak if you'll be quiet, but most of the time, it's silent and waiting for us to know the truth and to be freed. Imagine leaving here with a sense of this infinite silent partner right here for me. I don't have to change anything about me. I don't have to do anything differently. The Abrahamic religions came along and, you know, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and they all have their blessings and benefits. And yet, the sad thing that they said is that the origin of humanity was kicked out of the garden and we can't get back in. And now we're plundering the garden and paying for the consequences of that. But the message of co-creation is that you live, move, and have your being in this spirit. So perceive it. Erica and I are doing some study with a shaman called Alberto Villoldo. And his whole purpose is to express more fully, communicate the wisdom tradition of the indigenous peoples. And these traditions are pre-religious, and they imply the direct experience of the individual with the divine and with nature. Okay? And the basis of this is that creation is continually unfolding. It just wasn't done and stopped. It is continually unfolding, and we humans are designed to be co-creators, to participate in this unfolding, bringing our unique gifts to it. And we're here also to be stewards and caretakers of the glory of it all. A totally different orientation. Creation happening now, not in the past, now, for all of us. He talks about how about 500 years ago, the conquistadors came to the Americas, mostly South America, and from Portugal and Spain, and they brought a whole new, that different viewpoint I've spoken of. And they began to destroy the monasteries and the teaching centers and almost led to the disappearance of these wisdom teachings. And he tells a story, which I really love. It was when the conquistadors arrived in Peru, and they met with the Incan rulers and spiritual leaders. And a priest among the conquistadors handed them a Bible and said, "This is the word of God." And an Incan shaman took that Bible, and he held it up to his ear. And he listened, and he listened. And then he threw it down and he said, "What kind of God is this that does not speak? What kind of God? When did your God last speak to you?" And the startled priest said, "Well, 1,500 years ago, when did your God last speak to you?" And the shaman said, "This morning at breakfast. And when I walked along the river and I walked through the meadow and when I held my hands up and opened my heart to the divine, my God speaks." Co-creation is to perceive the message and the presence of your God, not later, now. Now. Emmett Fox says, "You will never be nearer to God through all eternity than you are right now, at this moment. As time passes, you will realize it more, but you will not be nearer than you are right now. And God will never love you more than he loves you right now." Can we open to this, surrender and perceive, that we then might surrender and believe? Stretch our believing. We all believe to a certain degree. And we've seen that grow as we've taken classes through our spiritual practices and study and fellowship. And yet there's more. The good news is the ceiling of our believing is very flexible. It stretches. And so we can use our life experiences and our inner work to stretch to an even more profound and powerful and compelling believing. Okay, and that's so important for us. In the Bible it says, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. It's like, I believe, but there's a part I don't believe, or I need to stretch it. And the power says, good, be willing to. Surrender and believe even more dynamically and powerfully. I love in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Elisha, the prophet that followed Elijah. Elisha had the ability to read minds and the ability to read the enemy's minds. And he told the people and the king, hey, the enemies are amassing chariots and they're going to try to take us over. And everybody was sorely afraid. And so Elijah fell to his knees and prayed to God that God would open the eyes of the king and all the people to see God's chariots available to march. And the awakening happened and they all could see God's chariots marching in their favor. And with that inspiration, they went out and they defeated the alien enemy. All metaphorically helping us understand that no matter what we face, tune in, believe that God's chariots march in your favor. That you have these resources bigger than you know, bigger than you can conspire or fabricate. And you can open to those. Believe. Don't you love it in Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, and Luke's ship is in the bog, stuck. And Yoda's trying to teach him how to elevate it and levitate it. But Luke is struggling believing, and then he's struggling accepting it. He tries to lift it once and falls down. He says, it's too hard, I can't do it. And he says, no. And Yoda tries to tell him, you don't try, you do, and it's no big deal. And then Yoda lifts it up, you remember, and floats it out and sets it on dry ground. And Luke says, I don't believe it. And Yoda says, and that is why you fail. And that's the message for all of us, to go to a deeper, stronger, more vibrant believing. Surrender and believe. I love the words of our founder, Ernest Holmes. There's a power within us which is greater than any condition we can ever contact. It knows no obstruction, no obstacle. Know that. Surrender your sense of separation, your certainties, your attachments. Open, surrender, and believe. Stretch to another believing. Try it on. Your believing grows through application. Standing in that believing. Finally, as you surrender to perceive and believe, surrender also and receive. Receive. This is to expect to receive greatly through this yielding and this opening to this great resource of which we are all a part. It's standing in dynamic open receptivity and expectation of your good, of your answers, of your support, of your empowerment, of your healing. Stand in that expectation through your believing. Ready to receive. Ready to receive. To let go of what was and be available to what is to be. Receive. I believe most of us have received the guidance and the support of the divine more than we get in touch with. If you can think of any time in your life where you've felt blessed, things worked out, or you made a great decision, but things unfolded. In one way or another, whether you were conscious of it or not, you let a ray of the light, the greater light you're a part of, get in. Touch your mind, illumine your heart. Every one of us. Now we need to amplify that and make that the new norm and let that happen. I see it in my life, in my early ministry, and all the guidance. I was guided then eventually to open my heart and then enter into a new field. How I was, and through that open-heartedness, I would turn around one day and see Erica on the patio and know, in a way I couldn't even understand, that she was mine, that we are together. the guidance to come back here and be senior minister despite having to sell homes at a tremendous loss in California. The guidance that came through in the book. The guidance one time that I remember when architects we had commissioned, the very architects who built DIA, to design a new sanctuary for us, had come up with this design that was very angular and full of steel, and it was effective, it met the criteria, but it just wasn't comfortable. And then China started buying all the steel in the United States, or most of it, and the prices went up, and I felt such concern because the bids were higher and it didn't look right. And I remember praying and praying and praying, and all of a sudden, at the end of one particular meditation session, an idea about a time 15 years ago when a company came out to look at our first dome out there and tell us about a dome concept where you inflate this strong, strong covering, and then you spray on the inside of it, and it becomes a green building, and it's incredibly strong. And the lights went out. I found the brochure from years ago, gave it to Dr. Raz. He found out they're still doing it. He gave the architects what they thought was the worst news around, that we're scrapping your design, build this, and here we are. And it's so much better. And I just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. My step into retirement was the same kind of surrendering and being guided, and the re-enchantment's coming along, and I'm doing new things. This happens for you. Attend to it. Trust it. Rely on it. Surrender and receive. Let me close with an illustration that touches me to this day. It occurred in 1985. I was an associate minister here, and late at night, I got a call from a wonderful couple. The same couple I told you about earlier, Mark and Cindy Cleveland. They had just had a little girl, 1 week old, little baby Lauren. And Cindy, by the way, was a nurse for children, a NICU nurse. But she was on leave, and she began to notice that little Lauren was looking jaundiced. And so she was getting up every so often through the night to check on Lauren. And one night she got up, and at 4 a.m., Lauren stopped breathing. So Cindy knew how to resuscitate her, and then they rushed over to Children's Hospital. And in the process, they did 11 spinal taps on the little baby to try to find out what was going on. And finally, that night, the doctor came to them and said, prepare. We don't believe this baby's going to make it. Your baby has sepsis, pneumonia. We're sorry. Now, Cindy had been in our teaching for just a couple of years. And she had an inspiration to give me a call. And I was so happy about that. So I got dressed and went over there to Children's. And I walked in the room and I could feel it. It was thick, the fear. And I saw Mark and Cindy, and they were pale and trembling with that fear. And there was that incubator and little baby Lauren, all sorts of tubes, and her legs were blue. And we sat down, and we just brought our hearts together, and we chatted. And I said, it's time to pray. And so we stood up, and we gathered around that incubator and held hands. And we entered into the consciousness of the presence, something every one of us can do. And the prayer built, and it built. I still remember the feeling permeating, the shift in that room. Incredible, accentuated sense of the presence of the divine. And just speaking that prayer, God, you take care of every soul. This is your spirit, your essence, your child. You know what's the best. Do it. We let it be. I remember when we entered that prayer, everything was different in the energy. And I looked at Mark and Cindy, and they were calm. And there was a whole different essence about them, a peace. And so I knew I'd kind of done my job. I hugged on them and left. And later that night, baby Lauren turned around. And the doctors couldn't explain it. They didn't understand it. They said, it's amazing. In 2011, I officiated at Lauren's wedding. She has a wonderful husband, 3 children, 3 boys. She's doing an advanced degree work. Cindy has gone on to be one of our finest practitioners, practitioner emeritus. Mark and Cindy both have been members of our board of trustees at different times. Because they all want to get, we all want to give back when we've been touched with that. And I think Mark and Cindy are even here today, but I can't really see where you are, but I love you. And thanks for the lesson we all learned, the lesson to surrender and perceive and believe and receive. I want to leave you with this affirmation. Maybe it'll support you in becoming a conscious co-creator, your destiny, your wiring. Let's say this together. The power within me is always greater than the challenges before me. Again, but let's emphasize the always. The power within me is always greater than the challenges before me. And so it is. Let's have a prayer. So let yourself become still and begin surrendering the thoughts that seem to just come up robotically. The limiting thoughts, the identifying with the lesser things, the lesser thoughts, the lesser roles, and a sense that the past rules your life. Surrender, let it go. And we enter into this holy instant right now. Behold, old things are passed away. All things become new. Now, how good it is to let go and let God in. This is no magic. This isn't meant for mystics alone. For we are all practical mystics in the world. Here, yes, to achieve our own goals, and yet here also. To be the conduits, the channels for the light divine, the love that heals. So wherever your life seems out of harmony, or is calling for renewal or newness, let go and allow. Perceive the presence of a greater mind. Believe that newness is available and get ready to receive beyond your wildest expectations and then to move forward as you're guided. Affirm this now. Accept this. Promise yourself as you leave this place, this holy place, this campus, this day, that you'll walk with a deep and passionate sense of the mighty presence of the living Spirit right here with you, in you, surrounding you, guiding you. And you can be bold. Let it flow. You can speak beyond what you know. You can declare a truth that needs to be declared. You can be a love in the presence of darkness. You can be a light where it needs to shine. And it's not you that does it. It's the Father within you, the beloved Spirit, the infinite power, healing, uplifting, guiding, and guarding. Accepting the mantle of co-creator, we think constructively, creatively, compassionately, and we act in the same harmony. We live with open hearts and expansive minds, and the light does shine. And all the problems we think have been heaped up in at our doorstep, they fall away. Seek first the kingdom and everything is taken care of. And we allow this. And we go forth to be beacon lights of peace. We hold the Ukraine and all areas of conflict or need or trouble in our world in compassion and also with the full realization that the good of God is right there. And we add our consciousness to the growing wave of awakening that we as co-creators with God can do anything. All things are possible with God. Oh, giving thanks that we've moved on to the higher path for our lives. We release this with gratitude and great joy as it ripples in and revamps and re-enchants, recreates our life and life around us. Thank you, Spirit. We let it be. And together we declare, and so it is, and so I am, and so we are. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Mile High Church podcast. This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners like you. To make a donation, please visit milehighchurch.org.